From Vermont Public Radio, this is The Frequency. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. This is only our second episode of The Frequency. It's a brand new daily news podcast. It's the reporting you're used to hearing on VPR, but we're not on the radio.
Now you can catch up on the day's news with VPR whenever and wherever you want, even if it's just at home.
Which is hopefully where you are right now, if you're able to be, since we're all still under a stay-home order in Vermont. It's Thursday, April 2nd. Here are today's headlines.
The number of cases of COVID-19 in Vermont is still on the rise. The State Health Department announced 28 new cases yesterday for a total of 321, and 16 people have died.
Health Commissioner Dr. Mark Levine says a lot of cases have been in places like senior living communities, condo complexes, and care facilities, all in Chittenden County.
Also, the Labor Department says it processed more unemployment claims in the past 2 weeks than it usually sees in a full year. Up to 40,000 people have filed for jobless benefits. Labor Commissioner Michael Harrington says so many people are calling that not everyone has been able to get through.
The most patience you can give and just, again, continue to be resilient and try to get through to our department, that is the best course right now.
Meanwhile, Governor Phil Scott is urging Vermonters with medical experience to join the state's Medical Reserve Corps to help respond to the COVID-19 pandemic.
The state is looking for pretty much anyone with a medical background to volunteer, including nurses, pharmacists, mental health professionals, and even veterinarians.
Vermont was already dealing with shortages in its healthcare workforce before the COVID-19 pandemic, and these volunteers would help staff the surge sites and backup facilities that will take on patients if local hospitals get overwhelmed.
And Henry, you might have heard about how a bunch of governors in places like California, Oregon, and Michigan have banned evictions.
Yeah, I did.
Well, we don't have the same situation here in Vermont, though the governor has said he's considering it. There's no statewide eviction ban, and less than half the county courthouses here have put holds on future evictions.
Right, and lawyers are saying that even in those counties that do have this eviction hold, some people might still be forced from their homes. Maggie Fry is managing attorney for Legal Services Vermont, and she says sheriffs who have already received eviction orders have to enforce them.
There's nothing to stop those from being executed unless if we individually petition the court for more time.
Fry says just this Wednesday alone, her office stepped in to prevent two tenants from being evicted.
And we all know a good chunk of Vermont's economy depends on tourists and second homeowners.
Yeah, but now residents in some towns that cater to tourists are feeling torn. They fear that people from larger cities who are coming up to Vermont to get farther from COVID-19 outbreaks will bring the virus here with them.
Not to mention the strain that puts on small-town grocery stores and medical facilities.
Now, those towns are also grappling with Governor Phil Scott's order this week, suspending online booking for short-term rentals.
The order also tells people coming into the state to self-quarantine for 14 days.
We're going to hear two stories now from communities around the state dealing with an influx of visitors and the new regulations. First, we'll hear from Nina Keck, then Howard Weiss-Tisman.
Killington has a population of about 1,000 people, and town officials say they have about the same number of short-term rental properties. Patty McGrath and her husband own a popular inn and Irish pub in Killington. Their business will take a hit because of the shutdown, but McGrath supports the governor's orders.
In a way, it was a relief because we were hearing so much about this, and you just didn't know whether you were doing the right thing by staying open or closing or whatever. And this is where it's important that you have leadership at the top to be able to say, okay, let's all do this.
Prior to those orders, Killington Town Manager Chet Hagenbarth says the tension between locals and visitors had been ramping up.
I actually just had a call from one of the people who owns a market, and they're concerned with the number of people that are coming and that they have to quarantine for 14 days, and that is not being adhered to, from what we understand.
Things got especially ugly on social media last week when Getaway Vacations, a property management company based in Killington, sent out an email encouraging people to visit. Dave Hoffenberg works in Killington and says a friend got the email and sent it to him in disgust.
It irked me because right away it said, you know, we offer an escape from your city you know, to beautiful, tranquil Killington, and then Killington has fully stocked grocery stores. And I mean, it's just, you're flat out, the escape from your city is like basically, you know, saying get out of New York City or you know, any of these big, you know, coronavirus cities and come to Killington.
Fred Sersena owns Getaway Vacations and acknowledges the email was a mistake. He says in mid-March he'd gotten inquiries from people interested in booking extended stays in Killington and asked his out-of-state marketing team to develop an advertisement targeted to those customers.
And then unfortunately, that email got launched. It was just really bad timing. It really should never have gone out. And we sent the retraction immediately. And that's really the story. We're closed for business and haven't been taking any reservations.
Greg Cutler is a select board member in Manchester, Vermont, and a licensed realtor. He says he can understand both sides of this issue.
Especially where we are. I mean, we count on our second homeowners and tourists, and they're a huge part of this local economy as well as the state economy.
But he, too, strongly supports Governor Scott and the actions of other nearby governors to limit movement state to state.
It's drastic. We're living in just unbelievable times. We're living in history, and we have to take care of each other, really is what it comes down to.
Cutler says he thinks the bigger story for real estate in Vermont will happen after this pandemic runs its course.
I think it'll be fascinating to see how many people decide they no longer want to live in highly dense areas.
For VPR News, I'm Nina Keck in Chittenden.
And I'm Howard Weiss-Tisman in Dover. I met Randy Capitani in the parking lot of the Snow Mountain Market, right along Route 100 in the shadow of the Mount Snow ski area. It was a gorgeous early spring day, and Capitani, who's the publisher of the local Deerfield Valley News, said in normal times, this place would be packed.
Particularly this time of day, late in the afternoon, people would be coming off the mountain. And certainly on a Saturday, you'd see multiples of what we're seeing today. But even on a day like today, on a Tuesday, it would be much busier than it is right now.
Capitani supports Governor Scott's directive to shut down inns and hotels and discourage anyone from coming to Vermont. Though he hopes all of those tourists and second homeowners will return when all this is over.
You know, at the appropriate time, when the all clear is sounded, come on back. We want you here for sure. We want you to buy our newspapers and eat in our restaurants and stay in our inns and lodges and support our economy. We know it's a big part of it, not just here, but across the state.
Laura Sebilia represents the Deerfield Valley in the legislature, and over the past couple of weeks, she was hearing from locals who were seeing a lot of out-of-state plates. Sebilia supports the governor's directive and said tensions have been high in ski towns.
You know, fear is not a wonderful social mixer, you know? It does not prompt the best behavior in society. So people are afraid. So we want to both help people have enough knowledge that they know how to protect themselves and feel less afraid, and then also make sure the people that are coming here understand what the rules are.
But Dan Baliotti worries the state could be setting up an us versus them mindset. Baliotti owns the Coffee Barn Cafe in Dover. He moved up here from New York after 9/11. He said when the Twin Towers came down, there was a feeling of unity across the country. He's not seeing that now.
Being we are the United States of America, which allows us to be one whole entity, the idea of traveling from one place to another place, concept of it being restricted is bothersome. I see a lot of provincial thinking, don't let the people come here. And this town and all the supporting towns that support the tourism, primarily the ski industry, the people pay a lot of money in taxes. And if I needed to protect my family to go someplace that was safer, that would be something that you would be expected to do.
Public Safety Commissioner Michael Sherling said the state hopes there is, quote, voluntary compliance among the inn and hotel owners to only house essential workers during the COVID-19 pandemic. For VPR News, I'm Howard Weiss-Tisman in Dover.
And now let's go to an old inn in the heart of Stowe Village.
It's called the Green Mountain Inn. It was built in 1833, and it's an elegant old building with multiple chimneys and a front porch with two stories. It decided to shut its doors to the public before Vermont ordered all hotels and restaurants to close.
But the inn's general manager, Ken Biederman, says first they had to go buy some locks, since the inn had not been closed in over 100 years.
Beginning in the really 1930s, the ski industry started to take off at Stowe. And then Stowe at that point and the Green Mountain Inn really kind of revived themselves around the ski industry. What I've had to do now is kind of regroup and look at the business and the company and say, how long can I, you know, keep going? What can I keep doing in order that we have enough cash to kind of ride this thing out? Because it might go, you know, this could go months and months. You know, everything's been transitioning and happening so quickly. It's just trying to get a handle on all the numbers and where we're going to go and how we can keep this business going. And the most important thing we've been spending all our time on is taking care of our employees. We have, you know, we had over 125 employees, and we want to make sure that they all are taken care of. And we sent a lot of people home in the beginning of this part, that people that were at risk. People are older. People have compromised immune systems. We've had people just went through chemotherapy and things like that. So we tried to get all those people out of the hotel as quickly as we could. You know, we've always had 24-hour presence here, and there's always been hotel guests checking in and out and people coming and going. So we never had any locks on our front door or any of our back doors. So we had to put locks on everything. And now we have everything locked all the time. So everything's closed up and shuttered. We've turned off all our gas, all our fireplaces off, unplugged all of our refrigerators, just trying to cut every possible expense we could. We closed the restaurant, and the reason we did that was we were, the weekend before that, we were really, really busy, and it was just crazy. It was, we had three deep at the bar, and people just packed in the place, and when we saw that, we said, we got to stop that. People aren't, they're not honoring social distancing, and they don't take this thing seriously. So we closed the restaurant right away, and we started doing takeout, and then we decided to close the hotel down. We didn't have enough guests to make it worth it and to keep all our buildings going. You know, we're just sort of hunkering down for the long haul and, you know, ride it out until we come out the other side of this.
That was Ken Biederman, general manager of Stowe's Green Mountain Inn. And that audio postcard was filed by Amy Kolb-Noyes. And one final note, longtime Vermont sports anchor Tony Adams has died at the age of 95.
Adams was already on air at WCAX before it was even a TV station. He was on WCAX radio and made the jump to television when Channel 3 went on air in 1954, according to the station.
Until he left the sports desk in 1989, Adams interviewed top sports legends while also covering local college and high school teams.
His trademark sign-off was, "Good night, good sports."
And before we go, a quick look at the Eye on the Sky forecast for today. Mostly cloudy with rain and snow showers likely in the northeast. A rising chance for rain and snow elsewhere in the afternoon with highs mostly in the upper 30s to mid 40s.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency. This episode featured reporting from Emily Corwin, Peter Hirschfeld, Nina Keck, Howard Weiss-Tisman, and Amy Kolb-Noyes.
Music by Blue Dot Sessions, digital support from Noah via Marine Cutter, engineering from John Billingsley, and our executive producer is Mark Davis.
I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. Talk to you tomorrow. And our so-called executive producer is Mark Davis. Our self-proclaimed.
Do you want to do that? We can use that.
And our so-called. he would be so mad. No, he wouldn't. He'd be fine with it.
No, he would find it really funny.
Yeah, that's true.